Welcome to the Audible. I'm John Congemi, along with former Dolphin cornerback Sam Madison. Kimbo Camper absent today, yeah. Sam. Rumor has it that he's downtown at the courthouse on jury duty. Yep. I thought when you're Kimbo Camper, you can get out of stuff like that.
I know you're supposed to. That's why they got this guy named Stu.
The appropriate channels to do that, right?
Absolutely. I've been there a couple of times and, you know, had to sit in there for the first 30 minutes to an hour. You got to sit there for the first one, but to be stuck there all day. But, you know, he's a people's person.
Maybe he wants to be on there. That's true. It's part of your civic duty.
Yeah, he want
to
do what's
to
right
go there.
For
Everybody's done it, right?
Absolutely.
And another thing that was pretty cool this weekend, part of your civic community is giving back. You know, everybody has to give back. And the Dan Marino walk for autism was pretty cool. Almost 15,000 people there. Mm-hmm. There were kids everywhere, parents, food trucks, games, and the walk was successful. Kind of rainy and windy, but
it's okay.
Great turnout.
Don't stop. Yeah, great turnout. And, you know, just having the players come out as well to be able to donate airtime and sign autograph for everybody out there. And being the eighth annual, you know, is really special, you know, because you gain more people as it go along. And, you know, that's what's great about, you know, this foundation and moving forward. There's always going to be a new person coming in, but they have a direction and some place that they can go to get the help that they really need to be able to live a very successful life and deal with all the ins and out as a family as well. So it's good to be able to see coming down here in 1997 and have an opportunity, you know, to be around him and understand about it and see just the steps that's been made so far. It's tremendous, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool because each family and each community wore the same color T-shirts or the same type of T-shirts. And you had, you know, the Miami-Dade school board was represented, the Broward County School Board. You had mayors from both counties there. You had the Dolphin CEO, Tom Garfinkel. I thought that was pretty cool. He gave a nice talk because, you know, Hard Rock Stadium and the Dolphins give of that facility on that day to Dan and his family and the autism drive and the Dan Marino Foundation. And it was pretty cool because Tom brought a football out, and after he was, you know, done giving his remarks to the people in attendance, he was going to throw it. And Dan was standing right next to
like,
him.
Right.
Tom said, what am I doing?
Let me give
the quarterback, the Hall of Famer, a chance to throw it out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was pretty cool.
And you talk about, you know, the different counties, Broward as well as Dade. You know, a lot of these schools, they're dealing with a lot of these kids because parents still, throughout the course of the day, they want to take their kids to school to allow them to have that access and that accessibility, you know, to other kids. So reaching out to those elementary schools, I met a few of those, the high school, middle schools as well. You know, the teachers came out and gave their support, but yet and still being able to have another person, you know, that bridge between the foundation as well as the parents, the in-between, to really be able to help, you know, the kids along the way. So it was really good to see those schools get involved as well for as Broward County and Dade.
Yeah, and like you said, the Miami Dolphins in full support of that, with not only administratively and staff-wise and volunteers, but the players coming out and supporting former and current players. As we looked at a couple other current players, Jarvis Landry and Rashad Jones getting it done in the Pro Bowl, the AFC ends up coming back and winning 24-23 in a game that is still – it draws a lot of attention, but it's kind of tempered down in terms of the tackling and the rushing. But there was a big strip sack at the end there to win the game for the AFC. But it was kind of cool. Jarvis gets five catches, had a 78-yarder, had a big play in the football game. And a lot of attention around Jarvis Landry these days because – you know, the clock is ticking on the decision that needs to be made by the Miami Dolphins. And it's one of those things, Sam, if you look at his production, you got to say, gosh, he's probably been one of the best, if not the best player on the football team in his tenure as a Miami Dolphin. He's done things that no other NFL player has done through his first 4 years in terms of wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, catching the football. It's just been incredible. I think that a deal hopefully will get done. I don't know, you know, ultimately if that's where the brain trust is in the terms of his agent and the Miami Dolphins front office, but you hope it does because he's been productive, and you can't lose productive players on a team that are looking for guys to make a difference.
A lot of chatter going on, you know, throughout the last couple of weeks, and coming really from Jarvis Landry camp. I mean, when you look at this situation, you know, the Dolphins still, the cards are in their hand. You know, there's still opportunity, you know, to pay him handsomely, but, you know, Jarvis is looking for that long-term relationship with the Dolphins. When you get drafted by a team, you know, you really give it your all, you know, just as trying to show the fan base, your teammates, as well as the organization that, you know, you're trying to do everything possible to make it a winning organization. That's what Jarvis has been able to do the last couple of years, but it still comes down to business, still comes down to numbers. And hopefully both sides can, you know, rectify this thing and get and have him in camp, you know, when it's time to strap up and really go full steam ahead, because you look at the production in the middle of the football field. You know, I've talked about it to nauseam about having that person in the middle of the field. That's Jarvis Landry, but having a big tight end to be able to help and offset, you're going to take that pounding off of a small frame guy, still be able to be durable, but yet and still be able to make more big plays and utilize everybody, especially, you know, with the emergence of that running game behind Kenyon Drake. So being able to have everybody, Stills, you know, Parker, Carew, time to step in, you know, just a lot of different direction that they can go. And hopefully he's a part of this organization come in April.
And you know, Sam, that's one of the questions that are coming in off of Facebook. Zachary Gibbons asked, if the Dolphins do not keep a guy like Landry, do they have enough at wide receiver? I don't think so now. I mean, they have names. They have guys like Parker, and they have guys out there like Stills. But after that, there's not a whole lot of experience, and there's not a whole lot of, I guess, trust in terms of having them come back. If Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback, maybe that makes a little bit of a difference outside. But you have no tight end either right now. So you don't have those numbers. I think the Dolphins are lacking in numbers. And if they did lose a guy like Landry, they'd have to look at, you know, the free agency. They'd have to look at the draft for guys potentially to come in. I saw two at the Senior Bowl that I really kept my eye on. DJ Shark, I think it is, from LSU. Big guy at 6'4", 200 pounds. And Deshaun Hamilton from Penn State. Those were two names and two guys that I watched for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and in yesterday's game, or in Saturday's game, that really caught my eye. But I don't think there's enough on the roster right now. You're going to have to stockpile a little bit more talent.
John, when you talk about that and you look at the draft and, you know, ultimately trying to bring guys in and be a positive force right off the forefront, you can't really depend on those guys. Look what happened, you know, to our linebacker, McMillan.
Right.
You know, we really wanted him to come in and step in and be the middle of our defense and the signal caller. But, you know, one play into his career, he goes down. So hopefully he comes back being 100%. But, you know, you look at the rest of the roster, you really have to go off what you have right now in your stable. Last year, you know, the strength of this football team, it definitely was a wide receiver core, you know, with the four-headed guys that we thought that we can put out there and consistently go through the course of the season. But, you know, if Jarvis doesn't come back, then you're stuck with, you know, can Jakeem Grant
can he play a bigger role?
We saw at the end, they did try to influence him and put him in a situation. He made some big plays.
That's right.
And that's sometimes what you really need, the opportunity to show that you can make it, and then you get that confidence. But, you know, to lose the production of Jarvis Landry is going to be devastating to a football team. Just because of, you know, the direction that, you know, he's about is, I'm going to be a dominant force in the run game, pass game, and no matter what it is, I'm going to fight, you know, to help this team win. You're going to lose that because he's the spark plug of your offense. Yet and still, I'm not even really going to say if he's the spark plug of the team.
Right, and he's one of your best players over the last 4 years. There's no doubt about it in terms of numbers, in terms of energy. Well, everybody's already talked at nauseam about the things that you'd like to see change, and that might be the, you know, after the whistle type of things. Yeah. But I still like him playing to the edge. You know,
absolutely,
you have to play right to the edge, and sometimes you're going to have players that step over the edge. Yep. You don't want that to deflect from your football team and hurt it in a negative fashion. But there are some other questions here, Sam, on Facebook. And you have another comment on Jarvis?
Yeah, I mean, look at Ndamukong Suh. You remember when he was in Detroit, and before the new contract, guess what? He pushed it right to the edge and went over just a little bit. Listen, since he's been with the Dolphins, none of that. You give him the big contract, yeah, everybody's saying, yeah, it's a whole lot of money. But for the off the field and the after the play. You didn't really see it. So hopefully it'll grow out of Jarvis. You know, the longer you're in the league, the better and longer you're mature. And hopefully he'll understand the sacrifices that he had to make and tone it down a little bit.
There's a couple other questions coming in via Facebook. Remember, Dolphins, you can do that. And we'll try to get them on the air. A couple questions around Dan Marino and his thoughts about Baker Mayfield. Any chance that people have heard on XM Radio that Dan kind of favors a guy like Baker Mayfield. I didn't hear that. This is just a question. Yeah. And what maybe are the types of quarterbacks the Dolphins are looking for? Those are a couple questions coming in.
He wins football games. And you look at his play while he was at Oklahoma, just the dedication part of it. You know, this kid was a walk-on and fought his way through one of the dominant forces in college football and play on a large scale every single week. And he put this team on his shoulder over the last couple of years. So for him, it's all about confidence. And Dan was a confident player throughout the course of his time at Pittsburgh. And then you know what he was when he came here, and he still has it. And he believes in it. And sometimes you're able to see those things in other players. Not big in stature for as Baker Mayfield, but, you know, just being able to make plays in the moment of a football game and have opportunity, you know, to change things, he can do that. And we've seen the shorter type quarterback start to take over the last 6 or 7 years. You know, maybe he may be the next one, and that's what Dan is seeing. So, you know, and if Dan said that, you know, he's seeing some characteristics that can help a football team win, and that's what a lot of analysts has been talking about over the last 3 or 4 months, and that's what Baker Mayfield has proved over the last couple of months as well. And needless to say, we don't know where he's going to go and eventually where he's going to land, but, you know, the trajectory is going up for this quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm sure every quarterback needy franchise in the NFL that was in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl sat down and met with Baker Mayfield. I'm sure that they went through an exhaustive meeting to get every ounce of information they can, and they will do that again at the combine
in Indianapolis
and at their pro day, and then maybe a couple of private workouts. So you're going to see those teams like the Jets and the Broncos and potentially the Dolphins that are looking for help at that position.
And whether it's the Cleveland Browns, definitely going to be in there.
Yeah, they're at the top of the list, but they may have their eyes on somebody else.
Absolutely.
Another guy that maybe shined during the Senior Bowl was Josh Allen, a different type of quarterback, maybe a more traditional type of size at 6'4", a guy that threw the ball very effectively during the game, 9 of 13, 158, had a touchdown, has experience, has a big-time arm, has that command that you're looking for. Big difference, though, in terms of Baker Mayfield when you take a look at his productivity and a Josh Allen, because Baker Mayfield, although he was the catalyst for Oklahoma at the quarterback position, he was surrounded by a whole lot of cats that could play at a high level, and that's why Oklahoma's had the success that they've had. Josh Allen, he kind of stood out among the rest, trying to raise the level of his football team against maybe lesser opponents on a week-to-week basis, but still came into the Senior Bowl, had some pretty good practices, and then translated that into some success on Saturday. Did you get a chance to maybe look at him during the week or at the game?
Just watching just different things, you know, just having captions here and there, but, you know, just being able to watch these games over the last, couple of weeks in the ending of the bowl season, you know, I'm starting to gather, you know, from general managers and scouts across the league is like, listen, forget the prototypical quarterback standing at 6'4 and having a cannon type arm. They're looking at guys that be able to extend plays because of just the different pass rushes. You're seeing a lot of 3-4 defense and a lot of different blitzes from the safeties in the playoffs over the last couple of weeks. So to make those adjustments, having the proper offensive line as well as defensive line, it's something that, you know, these guys are starting to turn towards. So, you know, for as saying that this guy can fit that system or, you know, it's out the window now. I think these general managers, they're looking for a player
production
that has that production, you know, that can build chemistry around the other players, because that's what it's going to boil down to. You look at Foles up in Philadelphia right now, you know, the starting quarterback goes down, and guess what? The chemistry didn't stop.
Neither did the production.
Yeah. And that's what they're trying to you know, base everything off of. Can we get the maximum amount of production out of a player if he had to go in there and be the day one starter?
Yeah, there's a lot of times now you see in today's NFL where plays are breaking down because of the defensive pressure mm-hmm. and the different schemes, and quarterbacks have to kind of make plays on their own outside of what was called and outside of maybe what you think might look kind of scattered yep. or made up. You have to make those plays with your athleticism and your legs on the outside on the perimeter to extend plays and to keep your offense on the field for scoring opportunities.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are things, that's a reality. So if you have a guy in like a Ryan Tannehill coming back that can do a little bit of both
correct.
I think that's the best of both worlds, because a guy that takes off and drops his eyes isn't going to be successful
correct.
At any level.
Yep.
But a guy that can move and throw on the run, move the pocket, and still be able to be successful and complete a high percentage of throws and explosive plays from the pocket, those are the guys you have to try to hang on to.
And John, you said something earlier. It was about being able to move around in the pocket and being able to deliver the ball. You look at the quarterbacks that's in the Super Bowl and how did they get there, you know, early in the game. You know, for Tom Brady, yeah, there was a little rattleness here and there because they were throwing some different things. And then they go and make those in-game adjustments. And, you know, you go and you look at the Philadelphia Eagles for those guys. They were just clicking on all cylinders from the first kickoff. So it comes down to, you know, putting the weapons around the quarterback as well. And, you know, for Ryan Tannehill, we've seen having Jarvis Landry as, you know, that premier slot receiver and being able to have access to him to the outlets and put him in different places, you know, it's good. But having the mobility to move the pocket, when you see a specific pressure that's coming from a specific side or right up the middle, to be able to slide to the left or slide to the right and then deliver the ball and not being afraid to stand in that pocket is going to be huge and tremendous. But, you know, we've seen the two quarterbacks that's going to be in a big dance on Sunday do that in those championship games. And ultimately, you really want your quarterback to have the access to be able to do that as well and still have the capability and the players down the field. Like you said, surround him with those weapons, and that's why it's important, you know, to keep Jarvis Landry, build upon that, and add some different guys, you know, throughout the draft. But build what you have at home, and I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far.
Sam, some other questions coming in on Periscope and Facebook. This one I'll take from Facebook. Michael Damper asks, why would a wide receiver want to produce when he knows he's not going to get paid? Everybody's getting paid a lot of money, whether you're a first or second year guy or yep. you get to that second contract. So a guy like Jarvis Landry, he's going to fall between 10 and 11 million and probably 14 and 14 and a half, or maybe even 15 million mm-hmm. if a team, not the Miami Dolphins, but or could be, but yep. maybe a team that has an exorbitant amount of money that they're going to spend this offseason just says, you know what, let's roll up our sleeves and, yep. and pay him, overpay him, because he's been so productive. So guys are going to – he's going to get paid and he'll produce.
Right.
And that's the mentality of a professional. No matter where you're at in your contract, you still have to be able to consistently produce, or you don't get to that next
payday. And that's
a new
CBA, and that's right. just the way it is. We've seen it over the last 6 years. That's the way that it's been able to go. In the past, you would say that a player would take that hometown discount. You don't even hear that anymore. And I haven't heard it in the last 10 years just because of the way that the numbers have failed for the players. So, you know, it's going to be a situation where you listen to what Jarvis has been talking about over the last couple of weeks and the direction and how the Miami Dolphins are trying to build this football team, you know, through what they have and continue to do the draft. It's just going to be a situation where we got to sit back and watch, but it's going to come down to both parties, you know, coming down to negotiating and putting the right numbers on there and making sure that both parties are happy, because I'm pretty sure Jarvis Landry, he really loves the aqua and orange, and the management, they love the things that he does as well.
I think Jarvis feels comfortable. Yep. About his head coach, about what they want to do offensively, about the people that are around him in the building, the people in that locker room, and most importantly, he comes to work every day.
Yep.
giving it 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely a team player.
There's an interesting question from Facebook. Chris Hasley wanted to ask you, Sam. Does the Miami Dolphins, do they make a move on Tlaib, the corner from Denver? It looks like the Miami Dolphins have some promising young corners that have played very well, but do they need another veteran? Do they need some presence on the outside?
If you do, he's going to be in that role of coming off the bench. And now, you know, for his age and, you know, all the different things that's come up with him, a few injuries here and there. But you look at it, Xavier Howard, he's going to be the number one corner on this football team going forward, no matter who you bring on. He's going to warrant the number one wide receiver. You look at Cordre Tankersley, he got better. You go back and you look in the previous years, these first year corners, you know, it takes a couple of games to get up under his belt. Same thing as Xavier Howard last year, started in there. We saw some flashes here and there, had his hands on some football, was close to the ball all the time. I used to talk about it all the time. I'm like, I love the way he comes out of his break. This year, you know, he comes up and he makes those interceptions to even turn him to the house, you know. But to have multiple games, having two game interceptions, you know, it's starting, the switch start to turn on. And then you go and look at Tony Lippett, who had turned the switch last year, but eventually got injured. And being able to talk to him throughout the course of the beginning and after the game, you know, he's itching to get back. Going out and trying to demand a number one corner, I think they're happy with what they have here, especially once they get an opportunity to see Tony Lippett come back and the production that he'll be able to do. And the most improved player, you look at our slot corner, Bobby McCain.
Yeah, he played great last year.
He played extremely well, and hopefully that'll be the jump start for this team. But the number one jump start was keeping the system the same to allow the players that's been in the system a while to start to flourish, and that's what you saw on the back end.
Yeah, I think, Sam, there was a significant jump. You mentioned McCain, you mentioned Tankersley to a certain extent, but Xavier Howard, those guys, and you add a Tony Lippett to the group.
Yep.
I think that makes that entire unit on the outside in the slot corner that much better.
Yep.
I think inside, where the Miami Dolphins linebacking core, that needs to take that next step. That needs to follow what the cornerbacks did, their ascension from the year before to last year.
Yep.
You hope that the linebacking core as a whole, and there's going to be some new names on the roster coming into the Miami Dolphins and potentially working for through OTAs and through the draft and getting ready for training camp, that are going to have a lot of competition at the linebacker spot, because, Sam, that's one area of improvement on the defense that must happen.
And injuries always throw a monkey wrench in everything. You know, you don't really know how McMillan is going to come back. You can see the production for what he's doing throughout the course of his rehab, his treatment. You can talk to the trainers and all those different things. See him running in the bubble or out on the football field. But when this comes to full speed, one-on-one, you have to cover a guy like Jakeem Grant that's running up the seam.
That's right.
You know, having that explosive twitch and being able to stop and go on to drop him down is very, really, very important. So the Dolphins, believe me, they're going to bring more linebackers in here to have that competition, because we've heard Coach Gase talk about it for the last couple of years. Competition is good. And also it forces the players to work a little bit harder. You know, never shy away from it. And I don't think any of these players will, but Coach Gase is going to put them in that situation, and being able to add more to the puzzle with what we have. We saw some explosive plays from these guys, but still a lot more that Coach Gase is looking for, because third down was big for us. The running game, once again, you know, showed its ugly head throughout the course of the season. Got away with a couple of games here and there late, but, you know, later was good because it seemed like everybody was starting to click on the same pages, and being able to play one-on-one was good. But now when it comes to your zone coverage, you got to be able to make the difference and be able to switch and go back.
Yeah, I just take a look back and think back, you know, more consistent production, less penalties, and third down are going to be things that during OTAs in the offseason, and getting people that can be able to be counted upon to improve those areas. Sam, it's Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 52 up in Minnesota, Philadelphia against the New England Patriots. It started out as a 4.5-point favorite are the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a number that you felt like might be just a touch higher, but a lot of respect coming in for the Eagles after what they did to Minnesota at home. Question coming in via Periscope from McLovin. Hey, Sam, I know you got that 10-table ring. What was Super Bowl like week like for you as a member of the Giants?
For us, man, it was business as usual. That's Tom Coughlin. He'd been there before, Steve Spagnuolo. It was his first go around, but having the opportunity to have players that's been around and did it before. Michael Strahan is a defensive player. Amani Toomer, an offensive player, went to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Ravens in Tampa. Having that experience, being able to talk the players that and never had opportunity to go through them was huge. So having guys like Chris Long from the Philadelphia Eagles to be able to talk to the players, because last year he made it with the New England Patriots, and seeing the Patriot way and having an opportunity to get there, the time factor is huge. We had a lot of guys that were, nursing some injuries here or there. So it was more important for them to be ready for Sunday versus being out in the spotlight and, doing extracurricular activities. It was none of that. Guys were doing, the little things, but spending that time with your teammates and cherishing the moment and enjoy the different festivities that they placed for us. But, definitely being aware of your time and making sure that when the lights came on during crunch time, that you was ready to go.
Sam, when you played in the Super Bowl and ended up being a champion during that week, do you remember, was there a 1 week or was it 2 weeks?
Yes, it definitely was two weeks.
Did that help you as a player, would you rather have played right away?
Because we had, like I said, you have some guys banged up, and what it does, these are two teams, 9 times out of 10, you're a little bit unfamiliar with. You look at the New England Patriots right now, they didn't play the NFC East, so they didn't have opportunity to see them very much on film. They didn't have opportunity, to play against them. It may be a preseason game, but you're not really game planning for that. So for us, when we played the New England Patriots, we played them 3 weeks previous,
right,
which was week
up
17
in New England. Right.
And we also played them at home,
okay,
in New York. And then during the preseason, we played them the third game of the season. So we had to put a real game plan and package together. We won that game, and then we lost to week 17 to help them go undefeated, but we knew them. We studied them because we had to do it the whole entire week and had another chance later on. But having that extra week, it gives you an opportunity to put the game plan in place. And then when you get to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a lot of things going on around you. So everything has to be quick, precise, because you don't have the allotted amount of time that you normally would have during a regular week because of the festivities that's going on.
You know what? And I believe the festivities are still going to be going on this week,
yep,
and be successful. But for a player, and I'm putting my own self into this, if it's -4 and it's I think I'm staying inside.
No parts of it at all.
If there's not a tunnel that's taking me to point A to point B, and then I'm staying in my room or I'm staying in the hotel.
Yeah, definitely. Right? And that's going to be for sure one of the key factors. For us, we were in Arizona, so the weather was phenomenal, and it was beautiful the whole entire time. But you're going to be in -4 degrees. Where are you going? Yeah, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
The only thing that you're going to have opportunity to do is be at one of the biggest malls in America, but you'll be inside. But majority of those guys, they'll be in the mall, have some little autograph signing around the city, but I don't think it's going to be a whole lot really going on, and those guys will be able to focus a lot more.
I know it's early in the week. Initially, though, who do you like?
I like the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going with the Eagles just because of the rotation that they have.
I didn't even know Trey was back from the Pro Bowl.
And then
he's
all of a sudden, he just pop up
Snoop
right there.
Got stood his, up and
got
started
his fly
flapping.
Eagle
That's
fly.
Right.
But, just having the rotation in the middle of the football field. We always talk about, how did the Giants do it. And we always talked about getting him off the spot. But it's not one play. It's not two plays. You saw early on the Jacksonville Jaguars got pressure and got him off the spot from the outside. No, that's not where it is. It's in the middle of the football field. And what we had a guy, Justin Tuck, who was a defensive end. He get one-on-one with the guard, and we were getting pressure up the middle around his feet. That's where he don't like people. Tom Brady, he don't like people around his feet. We saw last week, the pressure came, he slid. So the only thing with the Philadelphia Eagles, they do a lot of twisting,
right,
and they do a lot of stunting. Tom Brady understands and knows that, and he'll slide with it. And those offensive line, they play one-on-one. They don't do a lot of bumping, and he's just going to slide with them and keep his eyes downfield.
Well, we got you on record early. You're going with Philly. This is going to be one of those Troy Stradford predictions where it might change during the week and then have amnesia about a text or anything.
And I'm pretty sure everybody watching, they're right along with me, and they don't want me to change.
Because, you know, so our buddy Lil T like to – maybe change the facts.
No changes here. I'm definitely sticking with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I love watching him on Twitter, and he comes out so bold, and he'll be. We should start calling him 50% because he's getting half of it right
every single time.
He's upgraded though. He used to be 100% the other way.
Right.
So at least he's trending in the right direction.
Definitely.
That's gonna do it today.
That's it.
It's it, man.
Okay,
fun having you, man. This is great. Thanks for helping me out today. Kim Bocamper
Trey,
will be
what you got,
back
man? Fly, Eagle,
on
fly.
Wednesday. We don't know what time, but we know who Trey has in the Super Bowl. So anybody that sees Trey walking the streets, he's an Eagles fan. Closet Eagles fan. Hey, Bo will be back on Wednesday for the Audible. Thanks for joining us today.